November 17, 2011, is Sawat from Pedro Show. Watt from Pedro Show. Started off with After the Rain, John Coltrane, and then Incense of Voice, Sawako. I want to apologize for being a month away. No Watt from Pedro Show in 6 weeks, but I had a Europe tour of the Third Opera, Hyphenated Man, and then I was in Tokyo for Weijimikano 11 and recording of the Third Brother Sister Daughter album. So too busy. I came back a little sick. Well, I'm beating it off, okay? It came on me just as I got to my pad. And yeah, dirt got me here and I felt it immediately. But I'm winning on it, I think. You know, that first night was tough. I'm still weak, so not a lot of spiel this show. Mainly music. And I'm going to play something new from Guided by Voices, Bob Pollard. And then I'll play you some music from some of the bands that joined myself, Tom, and Raul in Europe as we played the towns. A lot of good music over there, a lot of good bands we got to share the stage with.
How's your life, the cycle? Compared to your next rival, a 59 revival, a 1005 survival. Then disregard, unthinkable. That he like me, unthinkable. That domino. And tell it all around then. A purpose love that found him. On common grounds to drown them, no higher than the fountains of water, so not drinkable, except to the unsinkable. That domino, animal sound, trumpets, wimpy crowds will know. Silence will sink to the carpet, space will shrink and move. The future trumps to know. Beyond all abilities and nuclear facilities, it's where the search team found him. It's where we'd like to meet you. The water is undrinkable, except to the unsinkable fact. Domino, so delight and unsinkable, make disbelief unsinkable.
Thank you. Really hard.
Swat from Pedro Show. Just heard something live from Disgrace and Terror. It's called Gas Chamber, and we played with these cats in Dresden, Germany. They're from the north part of Brazil, the rainforest part. And great cats, yeah. And before that, a band from, actually, there's a couple bands from Belfast. This one here is And So I Watch You From Afar, with 7 billion people all live at once. And we got to play with them in Vienna, Austria, and Budapest, Hungary. Really, really happening. Nice, nice gentleman, too. And then in their hometown of Belfast, before that, we played with the Continuous Battle Order, and you heard intro from them. Both these guys, they got albums out on Mick Rowe's Richter Collective. He's the man who booked the tour. Yeah, so connections with Ireland. Righteous. What's his... Oh, I'm trying to think of the guitar man. He had a picture of John Coltrane on his guitar. His, I mean, this, he rocked it from a chair, man. Let me look here. Just, you know, I am a retarded person sometimes when it comes to thinking. Hornby and drummer man Craig. Sorry about that. Ahead of them was June Ashes with Days of Silence. We played with them in Grenoble, France, which was home of Andre the Giant. I found out. I got to see him wrestle with Raymond. And then another French band ahead of them. In fact, the band we did all 8 gigs with over there. First time I brought my own music to that land. Papier Tigre, or we'd say Paper Tiger, with Restless Empire. Really, really happening tour mates. Did the most gigs of the tour with them. Two gigs we did in France. Orléans and Marseille. Was with this the band in front of them, Seb and the Rod Dicks. And we heard Johnny Weissmuller, the cat who played Tarzan, a song, a tribute to him. Seb is intense, and I later found out he does bass too, but this was like one-man band doing keyboard with the toe while doing drum with the other foot and the guitar and singing. Much respect. And before that was, Dirty Beaches. Played with him in Antwerp, Belgium. This is Alex. He's from Canada, Taiwan. And we heard a tune of his, 100 Highways. Really, really good gig. I was drawn into it, you know. It was incredible. He had a sax man, too. The details are in the, or more detail, are in my Hoot page. I do tour spiel, I chimp in diary, over at mikewatt.com or hootpage.com. And we start off, of course, with Mr. Bob Pollard and his Guided by Voices with the Unsinkable Fats Domino. Okay, I recorded this next song. The gig host lady put me in the seat right in front. It was a trip, okay? I didn't pick it. I was put there. What from Pedro?
Okay. I'm terrified. I just feel like I can pick this up my bucket list off. Baby, when he puts you above the gun, I've been waiting till he's here to unfold.
full of your diamonds glow, 'cause you're all inside. Baby, when he puts you above, they're gonna love it, but don't wait until he's here to come. All of your diamonds go, 'cause you're all inside. He was my spark, my elevator, up and out. I couldn't see anybody else.
Clara, let me remind you that you had your doubts. Let you just leave yourself.
The field's dry, I saw right down the line.
Well, that's too much too soon. You still got your old rocks to shine.
Baby, when he puts you above, we're gonna love it, but don't wait until he's here to recover. All the diamonds go, that they're all inside. Oh, baby, when he puts you above, we're gonna love it, but don't wait until he's here to recover. All the diamonds go, 'cause they're all inside.
When you're caught up, I can hardly recognize you.
It's hard to hear that, Stacy, but I know you're right. I've lost myself in this way before. Feel the ocean drop, I soar right down the line.
If you could feel what we can be, those beautiful gems to mine.
Baby, when he puts you above, gonna love it, but don't wait until he's here to recover. All of your diamonds go, 'cause they're all inside. Oh, baby, when he puts you above, I'm gonna love it, but don't wait until he's here to recover. All of your diamonds go, 'cause they're all inside. Above the girl, but don't wait until it's over. Love your diamonds, girl, 'cause they're all inside. Baby, when he puts you above, it's gonna love it, but don't wait until it's over. Love your diamonds, girl, 'cause they're all inside. Baby, when he puts you above, it's gonna love it, but don't wait until it's over. Love your diamonds, girl, 'cause they're all inside. Baby, when he puts you above, we're gonna love it, but don't wait until he's here to uncover. All of your diamonds, girl, 'cause they're all inside.
The creature made a war. take a plane to Saturn. Oh, follow the Indians. Celebrate their Lord. It knows Mr. Cheyenne. It's a crucified photo of the Roman century. Ah, for a soldier. Kick it down, eternity. So the city's delusion. It's snake eyes for sure. By confusion. It's a losing game. It's sad and rings of reason. By the billions, got the money line. Oh yeah. Mama's future children. Hey, the computer knows nothing. It's feeling sympathy. Why praise glory? There's so much infinity. Take our plane to Saturn. Follow the Indian. Oh, look at that comet. Feel the fantasy. Feel the fantasy.
Watt from Pedro Show. Started off that chunk of music there with a live version of Diamonds Girl, It's All Inside by El May. Yeah, you know, they got these little, I don't know who makes it, Belkin. It plugs into the bottom of my old iPod, and it can turn it into like a recorder, and that's what I did. I just sat on my lap. Good bass playing. Great singing. P-bass. I got a P-bass coming. Mr. James Williamson has requested for some recording coming up. Anyway, after that, Rob Dobbinsbeck with Barleyworth. Rob did a good, he's a Pennsylvania guy, but he did a good spiel with me in Montpellier, France on this tour. Happening Cat, a writer man, but he can play too, as you can hear. And then at that same gig, I got given a CD by Mark Hurtado. Mark Hurtado and Alan Vega with Saturn Drive Duplex. Alan Vega, you might recognize as a Suicide guy. Great band from the old days. And then finally we heard El Tente del Pregiatizio by Neil. I didn't get to play with him on this tour, but this trio, sax drum, guitar, features Signore Manlio. Manlio is an incredible guitarist. He's also got a band called Squartet. And hopefully you get to do some gigs with him in May, June, when I go back over to Europe to tour with El Sueño del Mañana, because our album would be coming out. So I want to kick up some dust then, and get to play with him would be remarkable, because he's amazing. This cat doesn't even use a strap, you know, he'll get a chair and put his foot up, or just, you know, sling it around, and he's just a joy, and I love it. You know, I mentioned some people's names in the other bands. I'd like to mention all the names of the people, you know, because really that tour, I wore the brace again. I was kind of hobbling around, you know, the knee's not all together. And everybody came together to help us so much. We had a wheel man, a robust young man named Kirk, who was just incredible. And, you know, he had some hell rides, man, especially the Vienna to Amsterdam one. Yeah, a great way to end that tour. Jan put on this gig in Amsterdam, which, you know, the home... Hieronymus Bosch, Dutch people, fitting because of the, you know, the debt I owe, the imagery of those insane, or not insane, vivid creatures. They helped me get some focus so I could talk about my whack middle-aged punk life the way I did. And big, big respect to Tom and Raoul. Man, they played their asses off. We're going to play Sunday, the punk rock picnic here in West L.A. Liquid Kitty. You've reached, or I've reached the end of the first hour of November 17th, 2011, Watt from Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour two. November 17th, 2011. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. Now, about a week before I shoved off on the Europe Third Opera Tour, Thurston Moore came by with two of his bandmates. He's doing a tour for a solo album, and he wanted to show him Pedro. In fact, he brought him twice. Brought some drum stuff, too. But I got to show him around John Maloney and Keith Wood. Good cats. And here's a little spiel we did then. With me is Thurston Moore. He's got a new album out called The Demolished Thoughts. And this is his touring band.
This is Thurston. I'm in San Pedro visiting Mike Watt And I'm just got off tour, the California Hayride Tour 2011 fall. And it's me, John Maloney on drums. John comes from a band called Sunburned Hand of the Man, amongst many other bands. Keith Wood is here, plays acoustic guitar with me. He has a project called Hush Arbors. He plays with lots of other bands. And there's two...
And they both live in West Mass?
Well, yeah, the both of them live in Western Massachusetts right now, but they come from all different parts. Yeah. John comes from what, Boston?
I come from Everett, Massachusetts.
Home of the Fighter.
No, it's probably like Pedro, and somebody says L.A.
If you, it's the San Pedro of Boston. If you ever saw the movie The Fighter, that's where it's... No, that's Lowell. The town.
The town is Charlestown, which is adjacent
Keith comes from the southeast, the hills of Virginia.
Exactly, Keith.
We're hanging out in Northampton, Massachusetts, and there's two... other people who play with us. Samara Labelski plays violin. She lives in New York City. And Mary Lattimore plays harp, and she lives in Philadelphia. They just flew home, and we're flying home tonight. And we just got back from San Francisco, where we played the Hardly Strictly Festival, and we're touring and playing songs from Demolished Thoughts, which is a record I recorded in California at Beck's studio. It was me and Samara and Mary. Beck played a little bit on it.
Have you worked with him before?
A couple of his cats. I've never really worked with Beck, but we've known each other since he sort of started recording when he was a young guy. I sort of was interested in him.
You know about his grandpa, right?
His grandpa's Al Hansen, who's a famous Fluxus artist.
And I heard Darby used to conk on his... couch. His ma.
Well, Al Hansen is kind of significant to the LA punk rock scene because he was friends with the Mask, Brendan Mullen.
Yeah,
they were good buds. And so when they were looking to do like a club that would cater to like, you know, this new kind of like scene, they found this place, and Al Hansen called it the Mask, which is completely like. Weirdo name. Like, no punk rocker in LA would call their club The Mask, M-A-S-Q.
Especially with that spelling, yeah.
But Al Hansen named it after some kind of it's referenced to some kind of European thing that he was interested in.
Well, it seems like some early punk people liked this situationist.
Well, there was a lot of correlation between sort of the radical avant-garde of Europe from the 50s and 60s and what punk rock was doing. A lot of punk rock was being informed by these ideas that were coming out of art school and such, and in a way they were ideas that kind of resonated with people who didn't really have access or the privilege of going to like art schools or universities, but the ideas were very sort of liberated in a way where it was very attractive to people who were interested in sort of forging identities that were outside of the standardized kind of systems of society.
And so rock, especially arena rock.
And arena rock, which was really sort of this kind of...
Nuremberg pageantry.
Nuremberg pageantry, uniform mentality. So yeah, Beck's grandfather Al Hansen was really sort of a very significant figure in LA punk.
What made you think of working with him for this?
Well, I had a bunch of songs that I was writing, and I wanted to record them in some respect. I wasn't quite sure how I wanted to do it. I was just going to do it, just me and my acoustic guitar and a vocal mic, and just sort of do like a very simple recording and put it out myself. And I was thinking of different instrumentation, but I wasn't quite really sure what I wanted to do. And I talked to Beck about it when I saw him last summer, and he said, "Oh, you should try recording at my studio if you ever want to." And I went and looked at it. And then I just sort of thought, like, maybe I should just take myself out of the comfort zone of doing it in my living room and working with probably the same people I've always worked with, and come out to the West Coast And work with Beck. And I asked Beck if he would just sort of take it over, if he would produce it. I'll just record. And he could have his way with it. And I had no idea what that was going to entail or how that was going to sound. And, but I sort of had a feeling that it would be interesting. And I he's a very musical kid, you know? And yeah, so I sort of bit the bullet and did it. And it was kind of exciting for the people I work with, like my management and the record label. And they were, you know, because Beck is sort of a very high-profile person in the music business, so they thought, like, well, if you record with Beck, that sort of gives us a lot of, gives us a lot of energy to work with, you know?
Yeah, yeah, he has an energy, huh?
Yeah. And, you know, but, and I recorded with him, and I told him I was thinking of bringing a violinist and a harpist out to work on it, and he said, yeah, you can do whatever you want. And so I did that, and then he brought in some of his cats, like Joey, to play drums. Joey Waronker and his bass player.
Who did I see him first with? Walt Meek.
Walt Bink.
Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember the name. I didn't realize that was his thing.
Yeah, yeah. I played with him in Firehose.
Oh, really? Yeah, he's a sick drummer.
They were like Minneapolis, too, so for some reason he was living there.
Yeah.
Cat named John, who kind of sang like HR.
I don't remember hearing them, but yeah, I do remember the name. Recorded it and came home, put the record out, and then I decided,
we want to do some gigs, man. Yeah.
And so I, you know, I had different ideas of who to play with, but I wanted to play with Keith and John. They were around, and we had been sort of playing a little together in different ways with different ad hoc kind of lineup stuff, and it just sort of made sense. And I, you know, and we just sort of started rehearsing and. And it came together very quickly. Sounded good. And we started doing some gigs. And we've sort of been doing sporadic gigs, little tour stuff. We're going to go out again beginning of December and do some stuff overseas.
Late November, actually. And we've been kind of on the road for the whole year, it seems like.
Yeah, we've been working the whole year.
Yeah.
Since the record came out.
Yeah.
You know, which was in the spring.
Can I ask some, Keith, how'd you get into music? How old were you? Were you little?
Yeah, I was about, I think maybe 11 or 12. And I was, it's kind of because of hearing Firehose on a skateboard video. Started playing guitar after that.
Ohio Skate Out or
Santa Cruz? Like, it was like a Santa Cruz video. Yeah, and there was a clip where Brave Captain, Renatus Kappas, that was like a 720 on a fire hydrant. And
you
said, I want to play guitar.
Yeah, I want to play guitar. So I just started and played by ear.
And did you get in any bands that young?
Yeah, I was playing in bands in Richmond, Virginia when I was 13.
Damn.
Which, you know, going.
What was happening there? Twisters?
Twisters, God, what is the other one?
There's a place called Pyramid.
That was
a gay disco.
There was a place right down by VCU that I can't remember the name. The Hole in the Wall.
Yeah.
We used to play there.
I remember they used to have the prison right downtown.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was the kind of thing where...
like marshals with shotguns walking the wall.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Right in the middle of town.
Yeah.
Trippy. It was a big town in the old days. But so you put together bands. Did you start writing songs? Right?
Yeah, started writing songs about maybe 13.
So you didn't like start copying records? Yeah, it was way different.
No, I did. I took guitar lessons for about maybe 6 months, and all I did was learn other people's songs.
Copy record. That's what we did.
Yeah, yeah. And then after that, I just kind of stopped after I knew a G chord and a D chord, and decided to.
And then start writing your own.
Yeah, but I grew up with my best friend. He's an upright bass player, and we just grew up jamming together. So.
Did you know Cats Thirst? Do you remember this? Greg signed some bands from Richmond.
Yeah, there was
Always August.
Always August.
Alternatives.
Yeah, I remember.
You know
them
Cats?
That's T stuff, right?
Yeah. Greg Ginn started signing some bands from Richmond. Mm-hmm. There was kind of a scene there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a great kind of second wave right after the alternatives of bands like King Sour. There was a bunch of instrumental
Yeah.
Kind of bands that came out of there.
And so, okay. They're a little older, though, right?
Yeah, it was like, you know, they're like 10 years older than me.
Okay. Yeah. I remember those cats. That's actually what I knew of, first knew of Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
That had its own scene. And when did you start touring?
Didn't really start touring until like maybe 2002 or 3.
Did you do recording before that? Play
yeah,
records?
I did some just home recordings.
Yeah.
Never really anything bigger than anything else. Yeah, I've been touring since 2002.
2002, pretty, so pretty, 9 years now. Straight.
Pretty constant.
Because you told me you had some years in England.
Yeah, I spent 5 years in England. I just moved back.
Now, what was that about?
Went over there for a woman, and also for music. Played a lot.
You were on tour when you met the woman.
Yeah, yeah. I was on tour with John.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. I was opening up for John's band, Sunburn Hand of the Man, and also playing in Sunburn Hand of the Man. And John's still with the lady that he met.
I met a woman there too. Yeah, that's
at the same time.
Yeah, it was like two men overboard.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
We jumped ship.
But you weren't living in England.
I stayed there for about 8 months.
8 months. Yeah. But you did 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I did 5 years.
Yeah. I would have stayed longer, but.
Were you in the big town?
Yeah, I was in London.
What's it like to? I wonder what it's like to be a music man in that town.
It's cool. I mean, I'm in it like 2.5 years with no job.
Yeah.
Just, so you can do it, but the competition I thought the competition was so intense.
Well, at that point in time, around 2004, like what the kind of music that me and John were doing
was pretty popular.
It was really popular. You know,
that was like
that.
The du jour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like.
So we were like, you know, like, oh, you're the guys from Summer and the Hush Arbors or Six Organs. We played with this other guy from Northern California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keith and I were his band. We were the rhythm section for his band.
Yeah.
So. At that time, like, you know, the stars aligned and then things were...
Yeah, we were all
pretty,
able
pretty
to
easy
do,
for us
do pretty well.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like...
Make a meager living off of it.
Like,
you know?
A lot of guys, if you're in England, that's the town you go to.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but...
I know there's scenes in the other towns, too, but, like, that's the big daddy. Yeah. So I just wondered if the competition was like...
Because the competition's pretty fierce, and the turnover with bands there, I mean, they're
right,
hot,
right.
They're hot one day.
It's different, man.
Down.
I don't understand it. But I lived in Leeds for a little while. I spent time.
York.
A lot of time in Leeds.
Midland.
And that was cool, too, because there is a scene there, and it's like a lot of my friends that I.
Well, I know bands came from there. Yeah. I think Mekons and Gang of Four were from that town.
Yeah.
But everybody ends up moving to the Big Daddy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you got, it was good, okay.
It was fun just to take a break from where I was from, for me anyway.
Yeah, it was, I played with Koenig 3 with, because Ben from Six Organs was playing guitar with Koenig 3.
Yeah.
And then Ben got busy with Comets on Fire, and it's his own project, so I started playing guitar in Koenig 3, and I did that for 5 years. So that was a really good time.
But you left.
Yeah, well, since I moved back, it's been kind of impossible to get back and forth.
Ah,
it's expensive.
Either there or you're
here.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and now you came back, you went to Western Mass?
Well, I came back and I went on tour with my band Hush Harbors. It was me. We did it as a duo with my best friend Jason and Jimmy. And
didn't you put out a record?
Jason and Jimmy?
No, he's put out two records.
Yeah, I put out two records.
Put out
but
two
isn't there an ecstatic?
There's two.
Yeah, there's two of them.
Okay.
Two of them.
Yeah.
Because he flowed me one. I heard how sharp it was. I liked a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
That was the prod you did when you came back.
Yeah, that's the one I've been doing.
Yeah.
Doing for a while.
And that's how I knew you and the connection.
Mm-hmm.
And John, you're playing a lot.
Yeah.
Keith?
Yeah, I played with Keith and Keith's band.
But what about before?
Before I started,
were you 11 years old?
No, I was a late bloomer. I didn't start. Well, I started my neighbors next door to where we lived. I lived in veterans housing.
Yeah.
So you had to be a veteran to get there. And my dad was a Vietnam vet, and so everyone around there was either Vietnam or Korea. There were some World War II vets living in this establishment. Kind of looks like the practice space you have.
Kind of housing. Like I grew up in New York.
It's housing, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like that, you know, two floors, like box.
Yeah, yeah.
So everyone was a vet, and a lot of people there were, you know, hard done by, or right. you know, shell shocked or whatever.
Beat down
a little bit, yeah. So, my neighbor was in a very musical family.
Wow.
And his name was Dennis, and Dennis and Jim played piano, Dennis played guitar, and their dad played guitar in a, he worked five nights a week in a country western band.
Whoa.
So my first experience with music was learning how to play a D chord and G chord and an A chord on like a 1945 Martin acoustic guitar. And then we'd sit around their house and listen to music all the time. You know, like, all the big names, Beatles, Zeppelin, whatever.
Off the records.
Yeah, off the records, yeah.
So you ain't drums first?
I wasn't drums first, no. I started with guitar. I knew I wanted to do drums.
Yeah.
I bought sticks. I'd go down and buy sticks. That's all I can afford. We had no money.
Yeah.
And then I finally...
Drum kits are...
Yeah. Drum kits and space to play it in.
Yeah, that was a problem with us, too.
And I really got into, like, hard rock stuff, like Van Halen, Slayer, that kind of stuff. But I was always into, like, a mix. Like, the rafting was pretty big for me back in the 80s. We were in a breakdancing group because we couldn't afford to buy instruments.
We had a breaking group,
we were breakdancing. Really? Run DMC, Beastie Boys.
Like refrigerator boxes.
My dad was a carpet linoleum salesman, so he would bring home sheets of linoleum that we would shine up.
Linoleum.
We would carry this thing around. Like four of us would have it,
rolled up in the tube.
Yeah, rolled up in the tube, carrying on our shoulders like we're carrying a pharaoh down the street. We'd roll it out to these battles, and the thing would be so shined up, you'd slip on it with sneakers.
Whoa. You don't let this? These guys are breakers.
So we used to do that. My brother was a lot better than I was, but I had like different moves. We all had different moves we specialized in. So that was it for us. I always wanted to play music. I always wanted to play. And I would go to my friend's house. We'd play guitars and stuff. He had pianos. So I always had my hands on a piano and guitar since I was about 12, 13. And
when did you get in your first band?
I think my first band until I was in college, when I was 21 years old.
Okay, early 20s.
Yeah. But, I got into some kind of jamming situations when I got into drums. I would go down, they had this local practice space in Everett. There was a music shop upstairs, and they had spaces downstairs. We had an actual drum kit set up.
Yeah.
So I would go down there and, like, bring Psychic Hearts down there.
Ah.
Jam to them.
His first solo album.
Yeah.
95.
I'd teach myself how to play drums based on, like,
Steve
like
Shelley.
Steve's playing. And
that's what you meant by out of the box in a way, because his other things are with Steve.
Yeah.
It's a lot different.
And it's just surreal for me to be sitting here in your house with him talking about these things. Because I've seen you play. I walked into a Firehose gig in 93. Remember that was when you played at Avalon?
Yeah,
Beastie Boys.
It was
92 or 93.
92, 93, yeah.
And that was mind blowing because I didn't know who Firehose was, and then from Firehose, that was my my insertion point into your music. And so to hear Firehose, and then
that town, because that town always had gigs early, but like Rat Days, and
someone says
Channel.
The Rat in the Channel.
Yeah.
Someone says, oh, you should check out Minuteman. I was like, what's Minuteman? I didn't know that.
That's when we first.
So I knew Firehose first.
Okay. Yeah, but you know what? It depends on the age.
Yeah.
Certain people, they were just too young to know the Minutemen, so they learned it backwards. But to me, it totally makes sense because
we are a going
age, you know. So this band you made in the 20s, in your early 20s.
I mean, my mid 20s. Yeah, I was like 25. Yeah. I started playing in a band called the Shit Spangled Banner, which was a 3-piece band.
Shit Spangled Banner.
It's one record. But Thurston put out my first record.
Out the first record. I heard the tape.
And Byron,
I heard the tape. And I said, Byron, you gotta put this out.
Shit Spangled Banner.
Yeah. I'll send you one of those. I have one.
I want to play it on my show.
Yeah, Shit Spangled Banner is good.
It's an album.
Yeah, an album. We have a CD.
And are these Everett cats? Or these are
these are dudes I knew through Everett people. I met these other people who were into this whole other world than what I was into at that time. The world I was into was just like really local guys, you know, working class, working people.
Yeah.
Let's go out and drink beer.
I noticed that their music,
you can say what you want.
I've been there a long time. I'm not trying to be an expert, but it seemed like their music scene was more tied around the college people and not so much the working people.
Depends.
Yeah.
Depends.
It seemed like the Kenmore Square, all that scene.
Yeah, but there's another scene that was like South Shore, like south of Boston, and...
Oh, right. And then I know the hardcore scene didn't have anything to do with that.
No, and that's the scene that the other guys I started
Jerry's
playing with.
Jerry's Kids, yeah. And the SSD. And,
yeah.
That had nothing to do. But they got a scene that goes way back.
Yeah. I missed
not
all
as old
that.
As New York, but
yeah.
Pretty back, right?
I knew nothing about
Scruffy
any of
the
that
Cat.
Stuff.
Remains.
Mono Man.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Thunder
DMZ.
Train. DMZ.
Yeah, yeah. They, like a rock and roll thing.
Nervous Eaters.
Nervous Eaters.
Yeah.
Tweeds.
Yeah, I don't know any of
Golden
stuff.
Birds. Human Sexual Response.
Dangerous Birds.
Dangerous.
I came into it very late in the game, and I, you know, made my way to Sonic Youth, you know, like Firehose.
Yeah, yeah.
And I made my way backwards, like the Black Flag and all that stuff.
Right, so you rediscovered.
I all that stuff in college.
Younger
yeah.
people, I noticed this. They want to know,
yeah.
and they go back.
Yeah.
I did that with jazz. I started listening, like,
yeah,
I found out about Isler.
That's something like
yeah,
what
yeah.
we did.
It's like, oh, then I started going back into, like, Lester Young, Charlie Parker.
Yeah.
Fuck, we were like little boys.
I'm no expert. Yeah, same. I mean, I was into Van Halen, like, I was insanely into Van Halen. I didn't know anything, you know.
They're from here?
Yeah, Pasadena.
Yeah. Sierra Madre, foothills, about 30 miles.
And then, you know, Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, Grateful Dead.
It's the arena rock.
Reggae stuff, you know. And when I got into punk rock, there used to be a college radio station that we could pick up in my friend Dennis's basement. And the first track that blew my fucking mind was Coup d'etat.
Coup d'etat.
Coup d'etat. Coup d'etat. Coup d'etat. Coup d'etat. Dead Kennedys.
Yeah.
And so we went kind of crazy, like trying to source this stuff, because where we were from, like there was a record store, they didn't sell anything like that, so 45 and everything that with all the hits. My dad was going there buy like Buzz Skaggs records. I'm like, oh god,
Silk Torpedo.
Yeah.
Right? That was the name.
Yes. So that was like totally exotic and really intriguing.
What about Newberry Comics?
Newberry Comics, so we used to go in there and like, and when I was about 14, 15, we were getting into like, you know, U2 was pretty big then, and they were kind of a gateway drug into other things.
Ed from Ohio was big in there.
Yeah, I'm not embarrassed. That was the first concert I ever went to, was those guys. You know, and those guys back then in the 80s were probably not superstars or whatever, but we go to Newberry Comics and look at the Butthole Surface section, like, what the fuck? I don't know if this language is this language questionable.
No, you can say whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah, like a fucking sailor.
All right. So, we didn't like what the hell is this music? And we didn't have record players at home. We had, then CDs weren't available yet. I still have like original Minutemen and Sonic Youth cassettes at home. Right?
Cassettes.
I still have those. Like I only got Evol on record like 2 weeks ago. You had the new reissue thing in the basement.
Yeah.
But the only evil I have is on cassette that I bought.
Yeah, I had all the Minutemen cassettes.
Yeah, I have like Postmerge Volume 1 on cassette. Mm-hmm. I have this.
I don't remember Greg signing any Boston bands.
There weren't any Boston bands
on
SSD. Nope.
Well, that's trippy.
We gotta go.
We don't want to go, though.
Okay.
We don't ever let this. Let the people know that we don't ever want to leave San Pedro. It's very nice to find a sister. This is like a brother-sister town.
I'm glad I got to show people. Last week they came to go borrow a practice pad drum set, and I got to give them a tour.
Very nice tour.
I love showing people my town, and they dug on it.
And if anyone from San Pedro wants to come to Everett, Massachusetts, I'll show you the tour.
You give the tour to
I'll give you the tour, yeah. It'll be great. Everett Bar.
I'll give you the tour. Come out east next time.
Yeah, Mike, when you come out, I'll give you the great tour.
Yeah, we're going to give you Everett,
Massachusetts. I get the tour? Okay.
Yeah, I'll take
you around. Mine'll take about 10 minutes.
I'll take a couple hours. You'll like it.
Now, let's bring it right up to date. What's it like playing with Thirst?
I love it. It's awesome. For me, like, my drum style's insane. I would come from this foaming at the mouth style, but now there's no drums on the record, so
yeah.
I asked Thurston, like, what do you want me to play on the record? Just play how you feel. And so I started using brushes, because Jerry's brushes on the record.
Yeah.
Joey's brushes. Joey, sorry. use brushes on the records, and I don't really play with brushes, so I bought brushes, and it was a little learning curve. I asked guys that I knew that were drum savants, like, do you know, can you teach me some brush techniques? Like, I don't know.
Brushes are tricks, isn't it?
They're hard. So I listened to some Elvin Jones stuff.
I just could do it. The cat who played with weights on a couple albums, and there's a technique to it.
I listened to some Elvin Jones with brushes. And the guy might as well be playing with like two hammers in his hand as brushes. But I learned.
So playing with thirst is learning.
It's learning, and it's awesome for me because I'm playing. You know, I always knew that less is more when drumming. I learned that my I have definite limitations. I used to always try and like maybe overplay or try and do things that I would listen to and I know I'd like to hear.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't do it. I don't have the chops. I never took any lessons.
More crack. You'll get them.
I'm more crack. And I had a lot of crack in the last year.
Yeah, see?
Because we had a practice.
Keith, now you're playing guitar along with guitarist Thirst.
Yeah.
So what's that like?
It's cool.
Well, yeah.
No, I mean it's a lot of fun. But I mean, when we got into this, I had not only 12 songs to learn. I had 3 different guitar tunings.
Ah, and this is first kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I mean I played around in alternate tunings a lot, but
yeah,
to be able to feel free in an alternate tuning, I had to really I'd sit down with like one guitar, like an hour a day. For a while, kind of trying to figure out the ropes.
The intervals, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I understand that CG tuning, but
I remember coming up to his pad. He lived on, was it Elridge or was it Christie?
No,
Elridge. And you go over somebody's pad and there's a guitar sitting there, you pick it up, you plug board on the bayou.
Yeah.
And it sounded funky when you tried to do it on what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wall would come out of my apartment and you would retune my guitars to standard tune.
Yeah.
And then I'd have to I would write them down and I'd just say, fuck. I have to figure out what it was.
Yeah, but can you imagine?
You sit there and I would see him doing it. I was like, don't do that.
Sometimes you had shit written on the back of the headstock.
That's still on the back of the headstock.
I had to do that because dudes were coming over and
fucking things up.
I'd play it and be like, ding dong, ding.
Sounds broken.
Or China.
Yeah. But being in this band for me, I also get to learn the guitar stuff because I can play a lot of chords in standard tuning, but playing with Keith, a lot. There's been you and Chazzy would use a dadgad or variations of dadgad. I got a big Irish background too, so I've always been around sessions with traditional music, but they're always playing dadgad.
I got to get into banjo too, so that kind of tuned me into playing an alternate tune.
It's a very expansive experience, and I like it. I like it a lot.
Sunday lights, come take my nights, and up and down. And die, illuminate my soul to take, illuminate your clear, cool wine. Going back alone, your love is light, is home. Where the hallowed shine, the lights lighting the road. Illuminate your clear, cool love. your cool light. Morning comes awake to your wildest dreams. Let the daylight break, set the angels free.
From Pedro Show. Yeah, some good spiel in my Pedro pad here with Thurston Moore, John Maloney, and Keith Wood. Coming up next, oh yeah, that was done October 3rd, 2011, if you want to know. Coming up here is something from Mr. Akira Sakata and Jim O'Rourke. Mr. Jim turned me on to this. Oh, and they're joined by Chico Marachi. Good stuff. I got to play with both those guys, and I choked. Here they don't choke. Well, they didn't choke then either. It was Watt who choked. But they're not accompanied by a chokester. Like Watt. Thank you.
myself on CCTV.
right?
You know what? I forgot to say, after that spiel of Thirst, we played something off his new album, a song called Illuminate, a live thing. Anyway, you just heard there Slingshot by Bo La Barre. And before that, Jimmy Bad Breath by Dot Dash and Ultraman. And Rude Van Dring by Vald. Ahead of that was Do Not by Disciplina Kichma. Much respect to badass bass brother Koya there. He's incredible. And then started off with Nagoya 2, something from a new live album, double. Kira Sakata, Jim O'Rourke with Chica Marachi. I should tell you, Chica Marachi is a unit made of Chris Corsano and Darren Gray, kind of a drum bass rhythm section. And much respect. I got to spend a night with Mr. Jim at Mr. Dan's Tetsunoya pad. Man, what a righteous time I got to have. Respect. It's the end of the second hour, the November 17th, 2011 Watt from Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour 3. November 17th, 2011. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. Oh,
extreme workouts. Extreme workouts. Extreme workouts. Premium team, drink Gatorade or gasoline. Rappers hack my face, scratch can of eye, touch my eyebrows with Vaseline. Man in Continental League, I'm mad supreme. Every kid's supposed to dream. Off the reverse, off the gasoline. Go baseline, buy your jeans. And a cup week shirt, the pros know how to make it work. Pull through muscles in concert. Put the spotlight on top of my shirt. Face the scarecrow of rap who run Madison Square Garden track. I'm the number one act, you backed by Jack. You must be smoking crack. No time for open mic fools. There will be no back to back. You must be the rap rat. No man, I won't cut you slack, but I might cut you slack. So you won't return until Mr. Magic. Rap attack, back to burn. You genuine nincompoops, you don't learn. Obstacle forces, you know who the boss is. I see you out of office, of course. Obstacle forces, you know who the boss is. I see you out of office, of course. Obstacle forces, you know who the boss is. I see you out of office, of course. Obstacle forces, you know who the boss is. I see you out of office, of course. No challenge, choose your sword. I'm back out in the Honda Accord. Extreme workout practice won't make you perfect. With me, you don't surface. High under the couch, big mouse. You move when my feet step in the house. Far from a rock star, leave a scarf on. Give me the guitar. You're not Sly Stone. Come talk to me in the back of the bar. Confessions of a legend. Confessions, 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 confessions of a legend. Confessions of a legend. Confessions, 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 confessions of a legend. Now you take that. You can come back. Confessions of a legend. Confessions of a legend. Confessions of a legend. Confessions of a legend. Confessions of a legend.
Watt from Pedro Show. Start off the third hour with a brand new band out of London. A demo of theirs called 21 Days. And they're called KK1. They're getting things kicked off. Listen for a lot more. Animal Electric, something from Many Birthdays. I played a lot of their stuff. It looks like they're in for a new direction. Then we heard Key by Boris. And then Extreme Workout by Cool Keith in 5471. The bass man in that band, guitarist, he came by my Pedro pad in September to do a spiel with me. I have a lot of respect for him. He said he had been playing, but then after spending time in the prac pad, seeing maybe so many years I've been there and him seeing all this stuff, he said maybe he starts music again. Now, part of the Tokyo thing was Third Brother Sister Daughter album recording, which went really good. Back to the core of the trio, though Mr. Sakano helped us with the organ and a toy piano for a couple. But other than that was We Jam Econo 11, and fourth one now. Big honor for me to be part of this. It's a little mini festival where bands play, and one of the bands, of course, from the beginning, and tight brothers of mine, called Light. Here they are with something from their new album. Thank you.
Cross your fingers. Cross your.
From Pedro's show. Yeah, we start off that chunk with something new from Lant. Duck Follows an Eccentric. Also, their bass man, Brother June, I got to do a project with them at this little mini fest called Sign. And Sign originally was an idea I wanted to do a three bass thing. Sign means three in their language, and it was going to be with him, myself, and Cantaro-san from 5471, but that never happened. And then I guess he took it on himself to evolve it into three basses. Cantaro-san from Number Girl. Same kind of name, but different cat. And along with two drummers, Akita and Hire. Two good cats. Well, four all together. It was a trip for me. It was a lot of bass on the stage. A lot of rumble, a lot of wailing on it. Then we heard Train Run from Miss Shimmy. Now, Shimmy, he's part of Brother, Sister, Daughter, along with Miss Yuko. And you might know this song as Amigu's song, but this was the original version by him. Then Drummer Hits the Drum by Kings of Lower Town. Speaking of drums, on drums here for Basho is Miss Hiyori, who did an excellent, righteous job slinging merch on this Euro Third Opera tour. Much, much respect to her. This tune, Devil Under My Bed. And then Prestidigitador by Rudy O.M.M. Prestidigitador. Yeah. And finally, 000 by Automatic Sam. Oh, here's some friends of Papier Teague. In Montpellier. I got to meet one of them. Or a couple of them, maybe. I don't know. I was tired.
Раз. Два, три, четыре. Пять, шесть, семь. Восемь, девять, десять.
I'm a wizard. You're a wizard. No, you're not. Because I'm a wizard. And you're not. Yes, I'm a wizard. I'm a wizard.
Thank you. 拍手。
Pedro Show began that final chunk for this edition with PFT Buddies Marvin and tune Reste Bien Tranquila and Tapestry of Mars by Duke Garwood after that. Yeah, somebody flowed me that while I was on tour there. I can't remember which land, sorry. I do know Man Flew this next one was, they're from London, and that tune was Wizard. And then songs by Yucca. I think they say Yucca. They're Tokyo. And Bi-Weekly after that, from Soma, and Matsuyama, maybe? Shikoku. And finally, Huh? What? By Ear Diorama Ear. And they're from SoCal here. You might be wondering why Man Alone. Sometimes I'd have to do this. But I very much had to this time because Brother Matt, when I'm in my Pedro town. Because in my hometown, I'd love to be with him. But he is puking his brains out. He's got sickness. So everybody, take care against his sickness. Damn. Maybe I'm lucky because it came on me. But maybe it didn't have a good grip on me. I got a couple gigs coming up. So I want to be strong for them. Case coming over a little bit to do dose prac. Yeah, at the Melody Festival tomorrow in Orange County. And then Punk Rock Barbecue Sunday with Raul and Tom. But maybe this is the season for flu shots or something. Or just keep it steady. Whatever you need to do to keep well. So we don't need to be hurting. But Brother Matt told me next week he's going to be in shape. And I'll be able to do a show with him then. So I'm very happy because I missed him big time. I'm very happy to be able to go and do these things in the other lands. But to come back to my Pedro town and get in the kayak and do the Jatensha and Watt from Pedro show with Brother Matt. These are things I treasure much. I want to thank everybody, though, in the other lands for being so nice to myself. And then also my men, Tom and Raul. Beautiful, really. We're very, very grateful. I'm very, very grateful. It's been the November 17th, 2011 Watt from Pedro show. People, keep your powder dry.